Good afternoon and welcome. I'm Ellen O'Brien with the Storage Media Group. We're bringing you this week's Storage Media Group podcast. I'm in studio with John Hilliard. John, good to have you.
Nice to be here, Ellen.
He's going to drill into this week's headlines. And before that, we'll talk with Dave Raffo, our news editor based in Washington, D.C., just like we do each week. Dave, welcome.
Great to be here again.
Dave, lots going on. We always enjoy your blog and all the news coming out of the news team. And this week, we had a lot of news about startups. And T-Gile launched a unified storage system on hybrid SSD arrays. Talk to me about why that's important.
Well, I think it shows that people are using solid state in different ways. And, originally, system with solid state would be, they would throw some solid state drives in instead of hard drives. And then, some people have come out with all flash systems as well. But now we're seeing, and usually these new vendors will come up with different ways to incorporate the flash and the hard drive. And in the case of T-Gile, they're also using some DRAM memory in their new Zebby storage systems.
So they're using the DRAM, two types of flash, and hard drives. Is it unusual to include both the SLC and MLC type solid-state storage in one device?
Yes. Many vendors will offer one or the other. Everybody in the enterprise started out with SLC because, that was considered the enterprise-ready flash. And then there have been some advances to MLC that makes it usable for some applications in the enterprise. It still costs less, but it doesn't perform as well, and it's not quite doesn't last as long. But it has been improved, and there are software and ways of using it so it doesn't wear out as fast. But usually it's one or the other. So what T-Gile is doing is, what's unusual there is they are using, two different types of flash in the same system, put some data on one, other data on the other to try to get better performance. So they, the data that needs to be really quick is on the SLC.
Now, is that what they mean by metadata accelerated storage system? Because John and I were talking before the podcast, and he suggested that a really ambitious marketing rep came up with that name.
Most of these architectures are like the come up with from marketing people as far as the name. But what this does is it stores metadata independently from the rest of the data, and that helps faster retrieval. And that's what's put on the single level cell SLC flash.
So it sounds like a really interesting combination. Does it make it a significant threat to the big guys?
Well, we'll see. I mean, any startup coming out with a new storage system is a big underdog. Some of them do make it, but, it's not easy to compete with the EMCs and NetApps and, IBMs and HPs and Dell. So, some have made it, 3PAR or Isilon, guys like that have made it, but a lot more have failed. So we will see. At least they're not doing the same old, but, whether they... they can do it substantially better and for a better price remains to be seen.
Okay, for more information on that launch and lots of good drill-down technical info, you can check out Dave Raffo's blog. Okay, so let's move on. Real data somehow became Starboard Storage. So is Starboard a real startup or is it Real Data 2.0?
Well, speaking of startups that didn't make it, there's Real Data. So, what Starboard did was they renamed the company and went from Real Data to Starboard. They did bring in some new people. I mean, the CEO and the CTO are the same. They were at Real Data. They don't have any, they do have one new guy on their board who was the new chairman, was the founder of Left Hand Networks. And they moved the company from not exactly storage haven, Parsippany, New Jersey, to Colorado, where there are a lot of storage people, and there have been a lot of storage companies over the years. So, you know, they still have a lot of engineers from Real Data. They brought in some new engineers at Starboard. They kind of relaunched the company, except for they really didn't tell anybody that they were used to be Real Data. They tried to portray themselves as a brand new company. But as far as I could tell, it is a new architecture. I mean, it is the next rev of Real Data, which did a unified storage. But it's, they're not just taking the same system that last week they were selling as Real Data and rebranding it as Starboard. It is a brand new system and a different architecture. So, they just felt, I believe they felt that, Real Data had been around a while and it never really caught on. And instead of coming out and saying, this is the next rev of Real Data, they think they have a better chance of making it if they push themselves off as a brand new company.
Okay, so they gave themselves a real makeover. Let's talk about it for 1 minute. Is it common for a unified storage system, like the one they're talking about, to be able to automatically prioritize different kinds of data for various tiers? Is that a common approach?
Well, we're seeing more storage systems do that now. They do it in different ways, but, auto-tiering has become a big part of any kind of storage system. So, people do it in different ways, but, the idea is so an administrator doesn't have to constantly tell the storage system what data to place where. If you're going to have flash in your system, you want the data automatically moved, automatically tiered, so the applications that demand the highest performance are on solid state, and you're not using up your expensive solid state on infrequently accessed data.
All right. Dave, lots of interesting developments. We look forward to speaking with you each week, and we will talk to you next week.
All right. Talk to you then. Take care.
Thanks, Dave. John, I know you were talking with Lauren Whitehouse this week. She's a backup expert. She had some interesting things to say about tape and archiving.
That's right. We had a far and wide-ranging discussion about tape. And let me run you a brief clip now. We're just discussing the difference between using or viewing tape as a backup option as opposed to an archiving option.
Sure.
Yeah, I think the focus over the last couple of years has been on disk as a medium because, again, it does offer you a lot more flexibility in manipulating data once it's stored. Faster access times, faster backup, faster recovery. When you start talking about archiving, there's kind of two different types of archiving. There's that long-term retention that you're going to have. So if I back up my data onto whatever media, disk or tape or cloud, I might have to save that for some period of time to meet either my corporate requirements or some type of regulatory mandate.
Okay, that sounded really interesting. I look forward to hearing the whole podcast and take it away for this week's headlines.
Thanks a lot, Ellen. And first up is NetApp, which is developing server-side flash software. This is following the release of EMC Corp's VF Cache PCIe flash product earlier this month. And NetApp's CEO, Tom Georgian, said he expects that server-side flash to become a key part of his company's flash strategy. But the NetApp CEO said that his company will be taking a different approach to these cards than its rival. In an interview, he said, quote, "I don't think the opportunity is simply selling cards into the host, although we may do that. But our real goal is we're going to bring the data that's stored in flash on the host into our data management methodology for backup, replication, deduplication, and all of those things. It isn't as simple as we're going to make a PCI flash card. Our focus this year is the software component, then bringing that into our broader data management capability." And also this past week, SanDisk announced that it was acquiring FlashSoft to accelerate the flash performance on its SSD products. Now, FlashSoft software turns solid-state drives and PCIe server flash into a cache for frequently accessed data, and the company had offered versions for Windows, Linux, VMware vSphere, and Microsoft Hyper-V. Now, the acquisition of FlashSoft means that SanDisk can use this product with its with the company's existing lineup of flash products, and with the acquisition of FlashSoft, there are other vendors out there that are going to be obvious targets for purchase by solid state makers. Recently, Nevex and Texas Memory Systems said they were jointly developing software that would speed applications running on TMS solid state. And SanDisk said it will be selling its flash soft products as both a standalone software and with the Lightning Enterprise solid state and PCI-based systems that are required by buying Pliant last May for $327 million. SanDisk solid-state drives are also used by Dell Equalogic, NetApp, Hewlett-Packard, and others through OEM deals. And finally, iOmega announced that it was upgrading its small to medium business network-attached storage lineup with server-class drives and management options. Now, its lineup of Storage Center PX server class series of small to medium business network attached storage came out this past May, but the devices will now support 3 terabyte SATA drives, solid state drives, as well as include the software enhancements for management and data protection that the company says is better suited for business use than some of its prosumer options. iOmega had been purchased by EMC in 2008. And we'll be including a new version of EMC Lifeline software that has power management and data protection features as well. Well, that's it for this week's lineup of headlines from the Storage Media Group. For the latest storage news, be sure to check out our website at searchstorage.com. I'm John Hilliard, and thanks for listening.